This is from Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse 21. Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, "Send her away, for she is crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, amen. You know, when someone says, "Oh, she's such a kind person," you know, that's a compliment, right? Or, "He's always Johnny on the spot, always willing to help," that's a compliment. You know, when you hear that someone is helpful, that's nice. When you hear that someone is willing to always listen, that's certainly something to aim for. But when you hear that someone is stubborn, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Anyone aspiring to be stubborn? For some of us, it comes a little more naturally than others. While stubborn may not be really a compliment, there actually is a good kind of stubborn. It's called faith. Faith in Jesus is a good kind of stubborn. And we actually see it in our gospel reading for today. This is a beautiful picture of what faith does, how faith thinks, how faith talks, and what faith does. It all starts with Jesus going to the Tyre and Sidon area. And all of a sudden, here's this woman crying out, "Lord Jesus, Son of David, my daughter is severely oppressed by a demon." Let that just sink in a little bit. She's dealing with something very, very challenging. In fact, it's personal. It's not academic. It's not just something you think about on a Sunday morning. It's with you all the time. She's a hurting unit. She's hurting deeply for her daughter. Her daughter is demon possessed. And she doesn't know what to do. Well, except for one thing. She knows that there's a place to go that's outside of her, that can help her like no one else and nothing else can. And she goes to Jesus and asks for mercy. "Have mercy on me. I'm hurting too. I need help." That's how faith talks. That's what faith does. Because faith holds on for dear life, and she's holding on for dear life. She doesn't want to let go. She doesn't want to let go. She is hurting deeply for her daughter. So what's tugging at you? What's holding you hostage? What's preying on your mind? What's going on where you find yourself saying, "I just don't know what to do anymore"? You see, that's what happens in this world. Things blow in out of nowhere and you think, "Wow, where did this come from?" Or things brew for a long time and you just know, "Boy, this isn't going to be good." And then you just realize, "Lord, there's nothing I can do. I need your help." Or do you? You know, we've been taught to figure it out on our own. How many things are preying on your mind and you're still trying to think your way through it? Or you somehow think, well, I just need to do the right search on the internet and I'll find the answers. I mean, we've been trained to do this. Or we've got to find the right people so we can have them help us out. What happens when it doesn't work? What happens when you find yourself just more anxious about what you're going through and you're still stuck with you? Or everyone else has let you down and you think, good grief, what's wrong with those people? Or you start realizing no one has the answer. That's a scary place to be. And that's where this mother was. And perhaps some of you are there right now. And you're just stuck with you. And you're not good company. It's actually an important place to be. The sooner you get there, the better off you are. Because that's where Jesus lives. And that's what this woman knew. It wasn't academic. It was personal. It was faith. Faith holding on for dear life, because that's where life comes. We don't know how this woman found out about Jesus, but obviously she was hearing about this pastor going around the Judean countryside, loving, healing, and forgiving. And as she heard the accounts of what Jesus was doing, the Holy Spirit worked faith in her so that she knew as a conviction that even if there was no help anywhere else, there was always help with this one who was the Nazarene. And so she comes. She comes and asks for help. She asks for help. It's interesting. She knew who he was. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, Son of David. Have mercy upon me. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. When you look around these days, are you seeing the darkness? Are you seeing how dangerous some of the territory is? You know, we've been so trained to just think about things physically and not spiritually that in a lot of ways, we don't even have the eyes to see how big the spiritual world is and what's going on. But I think we're getting our eyes adjusted. We're beginning to realize there's a lot of evil agendas going on that have no good purpose in mind in all kinds of different ways. Is it painful enough for you to ask for mercy? Or do you need to have more pain? She knew her hope was in Jesus. Are we still trying to figure out the answers ourselves? The challenge here is she asked for help. And what does Matthew say? But he did not answer her a word. We call that the cold shoulder. He brushed her off. What's going on? So, what did Matthew say? So she walked away disappointed? I don't think so. Is that what faith does? Okay, so much for praying. That's not what faith does. Perhaps faith is taken back a little bit. Gosh, my prayers aren't being answered. But what does faith do? It holds on. But what's interesting here is the grammar. So her prayer, she doesn't say once. She's saying this over and over again. She's saying, have mercy upon me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. I mean, they're walking around and that's what she's saying over and over and over again. But catch this, something else is happening at the same time, and it's being repeated just as much. It's the disciples. the disciples are saying. Send her away, for she is crying out after us. I mean, get this. Jesus is in the middle of this. Send her away. She is crying out after us. We've had it up to here with her. She's wrecking the day. Send her away. Give her the bum's rush. So catch this. Jesus is in the middle of this. One is the voice of faith holding on. One, a group of ministers who really don't want to minister. They're just sick of it. I mean, let it sink in. Sometimes we get sick of the ministries we're in with the people around us. Right? And here's Jesus in the middle of this. What's going on? What's happening? And of course, he responds to them. He's giving her the silent treatment. Send her away. She keeps crying out after us. And then Jesus talks to the disciples. I mean, good heavens, Lord, why are you acting so strange to this woman who's holding on for dear life? So he says to the disciples, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Not my problem. Not a part of my job description, my ministry, my mission work. Wow. I mean, to be sure, his work was to be in the nation of Israel. He was there to carry out in every detail everything that was necessary to accomplish God's salvation for the human race. Oh, that's where Matthew says, and so after hearing that, she walked away, realizing, well, it wasn't that important to him. No, no, that's not what faith does. Faith doesn't give up. Faith doesn't stop asking for help. Faith doesn't give in. No, what happens next? But she came and knelt before him. You know, kneeling is worship. To kneel before, saying, Lord, help me. Now, this faith is holding on. It's not an arrogant stubbornness. It's not a condescending stubbornness. Certainly, those aren't good qualities. It's a humble stubbornness. She goes to God. She asks for help. Help me. That's what faith says. And Jesus answers, it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Wow, what's going on? When Jesus acts so strange, what's going on? You know, we're living in a time where there's a lot of racial bias and racial pressure and racial baiting of sorts. I mean, that's just the way it is. Where I was raised out in Wyoming, it was the cowboys, the preps, and the hippies. I grew up with them all before we had all those categories, and somehow we ended up discovering those categories somewhere in junior high. Good heavens, the things we do to ourselves and we do to each other. So much for red, brown, yellow, black, and white. They are precious. Well, they're precious in his sight, but we do our best to make a mess of it all. And it looks like Jesus is doing the same thing here. You know, if you weren't a Jew in that day and time, you were a dog. Oh, that's complimentary. He calls her a dog. Why is he doing this? I mean, what do you do when God acts strange? When it seems like he's giving you the bum's rush or the cold shoulder, or you realize you're a sinner and that you don't deserve much from him because of your sinfulness. I mean, this is hard to understand what's going on here. But what does faith do? Faith doesn't say, oh, you're being mean, Jesus. Or why are you throwing that card? That's not what faith says. That's not how faith thinks. She's got him now. She actually has him right where she knows. You know, there's a hymn we sing at the first service. I just love the hymn. God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He plants his footstep in the sea and rides upon a storm. It's kind of fun to think about God surfing. But he says, one of the stanzas go, behind a frowning providence, a grumbling look, faith sees. Faith sees. Faith sees a smiling face. So why doesn't she give up? Because she knows who Jesus is. She knows from the people that shared the good news, we call that evangelism, we call that mission. She knows who this guy is, the Son of David. And so she looks beyond this frowning providence and she sees a smiling face. She knows who he is. Even when my kids thought I was a little gruff, they would talk to me because they knew who their dad was. You know, wrapped around their fingers. Especially the little one. And she knows who Jesus is. And Jesus knows what needs to be done. You see, all along, Jesus has been ministering to her. Did you realize that? It's hard for us to grasp this. We want God to be this grandpa who just is the pushover, the sucker for anything and gives us all that we want. That's not who God is. God isn't that kind of a God. He knows what we need. He cares for us the way we need to be so that we have a strength that doesn't shrink when everything is falling apart and it doesn't make sense. And so he wrestles with us. He refines us. I mean, it's fascinating. So she has him. Yes, Lord. She says that's the truth. I am a dog. Yes, Lord. But even, this is where she has him. This is the wrestling move that turns the whole thing. Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. I mean, anybody have a dog? Good heavens, they're always hunting and looking. I mean, this is so classic. And so what does Jesus say? He bursts out, "Oh woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. Great is your faith." So what is he showcasing to the disciples? What is he strengthening in her faith? But it's not about her anymore. She has the outcome of her faith. She's been with the Lord long ago. You know, we're going through a crazy time. Boy, the year 2020. I think we all want it to just be wrapped up and put in the history books. But we're living in it. We've got a ways to go. What's going on? You know, we're living in a time of judgment. In Jeremiah's day, King Nebuchadnezzar was doing damage to all the nations. Jeremiah was the guy turning on all the lights, telling everybody God is making mockery of everyone's false idol and false god. And then Nebuchadnezzar comes to face the church. And the church is brutalized by Nebuchadnezzar. In a lot of ways, I think COVID-19 is an instrument that God is using to take away all of our false idols and gods so that we realize there's only one place we can turn. The option, there ain't no options. We need to be a people of prayer so that we can have joy, as we heard in Isaiah moments ago when Max read it. That's what it's about. So what's going on in your life where you feel like God is giving you the cold shoulder or the bum's rush or you're settling for a stinky name for yourself other than the ones I've been given to you? What's going on? Don't give up on God. That's not what faith does. But understand, you're in a spiritual gymnasium. God is at work in your life right now, not to hurt you, but to bless you, to grow you. No pain, no gain. God wants to bless your faith. And it's through the challenges in your life and my life that we go through these things so that God prepares us so that we can be a people of joy, so that we have a message to share, that others may catch glimpses of Jesus like the Canaanite woman did so long ago, where the Holy Spirit works faith, and they call upon the name of the Lord. I mean, how many ways have you shared little cryptic messages of Jesus that the Holy Spirit has made a lot of hay with and you have no clue on? Unless you're mute and have no voice and share nothing about Jesus. Share the good news about Jesus and what he's done in rescuing you, that others may know that there's a place to go when all their idols are stripped away by God's judgment upon our world. How does John the Baptizer say it? Upon all who do not believe, the wrath of God abides. But in Christ, the wrath of God subsides. And for us who believe in Jesus, we live in God's amazing grace and mercy. And it's in that he trains us so that our faith grows. Stubborn. A good kind of stubborn. That holds on. Because there are challenges in our lives too. And the temptation to give in and give up and throw in the towel can come. But God would have us keep holding on and trusting in what Jesus has promised and alone can deliver. Because that's what it's about. So give up to Jesus all the nouns, the people, places, the things, the ideas that are holding you hostage, that are preying on your heart, tugging on your mind. Give all those things to Jesus. Ask for his mercy. See what he will do. And you can do this understanding that he was stubborn. He was stubborn in rescuing you. I mean, think of all the things that he went through. Why didn't he just say, what's the use? But he didn't. He went through it all for you, for me, so that we know that we have God's love, so that we know that behind a frowning providence, a frowning face, we know there's a smiling face that loves us unconditionally, that dotes upon us. And that's what this time together is about, in sermon, supper, song, in sharing with one another in the scriptures, so that we can be strengthened, so that we can scatter back out and show people what it means to live in faith, trusting in the Lord as we are battered, tossed, and pushed about by the challenges of this world. We hold on. We keep trusting in and looking to the one who has loved us with a love now and forever. I mean, that's how faith works. That's what faith thinks. That's how faith talks. That's what faith does. Because that's faith in Jesus. Faith in Jesus, a good kind of stubborn. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.